You, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word tonight? Before we get started too far, I was praying this afternoon. In fact, we can get started. I was praying this afternoon about what message to bring. We've been teaching on the New Creations class, but I thought tonight we would forego that this week and bring forth something that God would, you know, I like to be hear what God has for the moment. And so I was seeking Him, what would you have me share with the body tonight? And what I believe is, as I started studying it, thinking about it, I got excited about it. It's always fun to preach something you're excited about, right? And I'm hoping it's going to bless you tonight. My goal in the messages is to open our eyes to greater opportunities and to inspire us to go towards those opportunities to manifest the fullness of God's promises. Amen? And I started seeing something that in the body of Christ we often intermix or confuse together, and really they're separate things. So I'm going to start, I want to go to two different passages or two different verses in Scripture. And we're going to read the two verses, and I want you to take a minute and reflect the difference between those two passages. So let's start in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is after Jesus has already risen again from the dead. And let's start at verse 15. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus wasn't saying everybody goes to heaven. Amen. There was an eternal place to go if you didn't follow Him. And these signs, everybody say signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, hopefully not intentionally. And if they drink any deadly thing, of course not intentionally, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is intentional. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. Everybody say signs. Following. Amen. Now where He talks about laying hands on the sick, about casting out devils, being able to take up serpents, drink deadly things, what was He referring to? He was talking about signs, right? These were signs that what they were ministering was true. In fact, it says they went everywhere preaching the word, and God confirmed the word with signs that confirmed what they were preaching. Do you follow me? God is ordained those preaching the word have an anointing on their life to demonstrate the supernatural miracle power of God. Right? We believe for the miracle power of God, don't we? Now I want you to hold that in your conscious pondering mental area. That was a deep sounding statement, wasn't it? Hold that in your thoughts and go to John. I want to look at another statement that Jesus made before He went to the cross. In verse 9, John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I'm the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and to destroy. So if a baby dies, who killed the baby? The devil. If something is stolen from you, who did the stealing? The devil. God's not the one stealing and killing. Destroying, it's the devil. But then Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In fact, in the Greek, the actual rendering should be that they would have life and have abundance. The word life there is the word zoe, Greek number 2222. Zoe. Zoe is a word that means everything from you're alive to having the fullness of the life of God. But in most cases, zoe is referring to having a life with every promise of God manifested in your life. Every blessing, every anointing, every promise. A life without defeat, a life with nothing but victory. That's the fullness of Zoe life, right? It's closely associated with peace, nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have that kind of life and have it more abundantly. Now, again, we've looked at another passage here regarding abundant Zoe life. We've talked about signs. We've talked about abundant life. And many times when you tell people you go to a church that believes in the power of God, you attend a church where they believe that God's still doing miracles or God's still working in our lives supernaturally, many people interchange those two when they were never meant to be interchanged. They mistaken the two as the same thing, and they're not the same thing. A sign is an outward demonstration that God is confirming what you're saying. Do you follow me? I mean, here's your sign. A sign points the way to something. You know, we have signs on the church telling here's the name of the church. Here's what, you know, here's our location. All around town, anybody has a business, they'll put up signs and say, here's my business. Well, Jesus said there will be signs pointing to His operation. Right? Not neon flashing signs, but supernatural manifestations of the power of God that produce a sign. So when you lay hands on the sick and they recover, that's a sign. Right? Says in 1 Corinthians 14, the speaking in tongues is a sign to the unbelievers. God confirms His word by signs pointing, this is true. Amen. So, casting out devils, that's a sign. Now, casting out devils blesses somebody, but it's an outward manifestation to assign to other people, including the one that got delivered. That you could pick up a serpent and not hurt you is a blessing to you. But it's a sign to everybody that watch a thing bite you. Or try to bite you to drink something deadly. I've heard the testimonies of people that tried to poison Christians and when it didn't work, they got saved. There are many witnesses of people having done that. That a person didn't even know they were drinking something deadly. But because they believed God for His power, it didn't hurt them in any fashion. That's part of a sign of God's power in the kingdom. But signs are not the same as abundant Zoe life. Zoe life is inward. Signs tend to be more outward. You're doing something that demonstrates a sign to somebody else. Abundant life is the result of following God in His kingdom. See, signs point people the way to the kingdom. But Zoe life is a result of living in the kingdom. And we as end time revivalist believers have got to be able to recognize and differentiate between the two. Because too many times when I'm talking about operating in the power of God, there's a switch is flipped on our thinking that says, oh yes, I'm going to operate in the power of God and I can pray for people to be healed. Well, praise God for that. That's part of our package. Deal we have with God through being a saint, right? We can pray for people. And we tend to start thinking about these signs we can operate in to show people the kingdom is real. But I believe God holds functioning in His Zoe life at an even higher level than performing signs. There have been many great anointed men of God in the past who operated in great signs that won multitudes to the kingdom, but their life was a mess themselves. Their life was a mess. Or things were in disarray. Or they died in great, you know, in sickness or pain or poverty. Great men of God, great women of God. And God wants to raise up a generation. Then when they hear about the power of God, they're not just thinking about outward signs. They're thinking about my capacity, the promises of God to me to live a victorious life over everything that would try to come against me. Do you follow me? You know, I laid on my face for years, in fact, still do, saying, God, bring me the gifts of the Spirit. Bring me the ability, you know, to lay hands on the sick and they're healed, or to see miracles take place, or to prophesy, to discern spirits, whatever it might, the gift of faith. Bring me those giftings. I seek Him for them often. God, I need Your giftings. I need, when people come up the line, I want to be equipped to set them free. Do you see me on this? Or you follow what I'm saying? And most believers, when they're thinking about functioning in the power of God, that's what they're thinking about. Is that not true? But there's a higher place. Praise God. Praise God for the ability to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But there's a higher place, and that's living in the blessing of God. Living in abundant life. Living where nothing can take you down, nothing can get you down, nothing can make you sick, nothing can take all your funds away, nothing can anyway break or bring division into your life. And God's saying, those are the ones. Those are the ones that are following me fully. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Right? But the ones that abide in Him, not just believe, but abide in Him, will experience the fullness of the God kind of life. And God's raising up a generation that are seeing beyond just doing, so witnessing signs. Are you guys following what I'm talking about? Because in most churches, even most charismatic churches, you talk about the power of God, and they're thinking about signs. And praise God for signs. Tom's keeping a record of many of the miracles that we've seen take place. Where's your mom at this week? Tell her I asked about her. Amen. Phyllis and Phyllis last week, right? Wasn't that exciting? Those are signs. Now, it's a blessing to them. It was a free gift. But it's a sign to us. God's still on the throne and He's still moving in power. Amen. And most charismatic churches, when you talk about the power of God, they're thinking signs. They're thinking miracles or healings, if they can even comprehend miracles. They're thinking some type of a sign. I mean, in most churches, if you had a prophecy come forth, people would virtually pass out like, God spoke to us today. Oh! Well, praise God for the prophetic. Amen. But I want to see limbs grow out. I want to see everybody that comes in there with any kind of bondage or addiction instantly set free and go out totally delivered. Right? And God's got the anointing available for us to do it in the form of signs, in the form of giftings. But really what He's looking for is His people walking in the fullness of His blessing. John said this, the Apostle John. He said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. What do you suppose the result of walking in truth is? Living in the blessing. Abiding with Him. Living with every promise manifested in our lives. He wasn't talking about just seeing some signs take place. He's talking about you are living totally above the ability of the enemy to take you out. I mean, that's what's available to us. And I want us to change our thinking. Then when we start thinking about, I go to a church that has power, to go even beyond that we see signs, I want it to be that we live in victory as a body. No plague nor calamity shall come near my church, near my family, near my house. Because if we start to try to dissolve the line, the barrier, or the distinction between the two, will confuse giftings with living by faith. Do you follow that? And it's one thing to have a gift, it's another thing that you can manifest victory in your life by your own faith. Amen? Let's look at some verses dealing with these. First, let's go to some looking at signs. Go to John chapter 4. And to me, this seems like an obvious lesson, yet I don't know that I've ever heard it taught. You know, to make the distinction between the two. But there's no doubt they're different. Right? And of course, the more we know about the Word, the more we can accurately define what the Word's letting us know, the better we can walk in it. John chapter 4. Let's go to verse number 48. Now he's addressing the Jewish multitudes. Verse 48 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." So what do signs do? They bring people to the place they're willing to consider something beyond the natural. Right? They're willing to believe the supernatural exists. They're willing to believe the message that you're bringing to them. Jesus came proclaiming a message of a kingdom. Again, we've talked about this repeatedly in here. Jesus did not come talking about the cross. That was not his main message. His main message was not just hanging on till the rapture. His main message was not even so much that he was the Son of God. His main message was there's a kingdom, a supernatural kingdom available we can access by faith. Amen. And that was the gospel message he brought. And then as he would teach all the people of this kingdom, then he would demonstrate the supernatural qualities of the kingdom by casting out devils, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, right? Raising the dead. He demonstrated the kingdom through signs to confirm what he was saying. Praise God for signs to point the way to the kingdom. But glory to God, we can live in the kingdom. Now again, much of the church confuses when we talk about Zoe life. Many times if you study through the New Testament, you look up the word Zoe, you'll find it's usually referred to as, or often referred to as, eternal Zoe. Eternal life. So much of the church believes, well, someday when I die, I get to enter into eternal Zoe. But we've come to find out death doesn't perfect us. We have access to the fullness of the promises and the blessing of God now. And we can enter into all of His blessing, all of His Zoe life now by faith if we will seek after it. Amen? If we'll diligently seek after it. And be willing to make changes that allow that power and those promises to be manifested within us. But it's not by accident. It's by intention. Gifts can seem to come about by accident. I mean, somebody, God manifests a gift in your life and it's like, wow, I didn't even know He could do this. You just got a free gift. It was on your part by accident. It was intentional by God, but on your part, it was by accident. Many times where the gifts manifest, right? But when you manifest something by faith, it's with intention and takes some level of effort. Amen. And it's going to require alterations in your life and lifestyle. So here we see signs point the way to the kingdom. Acts chapter 2. Now, the book of Acts is, you know, it's called the Acts of the Apostle, what they did. And really, when we think of the Acts of the Apostles, we think about supernatural signs and wonders, right? What they did, the supernatural things they performed. God birthed the church through this group, through these first believers, right? And in order to launch forth the church, it was important that God demonstrate the reality of this kingdom and the genuineness of Jesus being the Son of God and purchasing access to this kingdom for us. So the first century disciples primarily were called of God to function in signs and wonders. Did you know 11 of the 12 disciples were all murdered? All martyred? Only John lived out his full life. The rest were martyred. The book of Acts is not called the blessed life of the apostles. It's called, basically, if we could reword it, the signs and wonders performed by the apostles. Do you see this? Because it was the birthing of the church, God had to demonstrate the reality of this kingdom that he was ushering forth. But in the end time church, we're going to do even more acts or signs and wonders than they performed. And I believe even at a much higher level. But also we're called of God because we're the finishing work of God. We're called to live in the fullness of His kingdom. Do you follow me? I mean, when Paul came on the scene and Paul was going through persecution like nobody before. I mean, in 2 Corinthians 11, he's talking about it. I speak as a fool. I was beaten with rods 5 times, shipwreck a night and a day in the deep, you know, stone left for dead. He goes all the way through all these things he went, but he says, I speak as a fool because I didn't know I had access to all these promises that would let me live above it. That's basically what he was saying. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. God's raising up an end time people that are accessing the fullness of grace to live in a victorious fashion and produce signs and wonders. But we've got to be able to differentiate between the two and seek them in a separate fashion. The gifts are sought out, as I say many times, by laying on your face and say, God, I want to be a blessing to your kingdom. I want to be an effective witness. Use me for your glory. Let me function in these giftings. And as you step out in faith, you know, God will manifest these in your lives many times. He'll develop them within you. But to manifest the promises of God and live in Zoe life requires you find out what God's promised you. And you get those scriptures, you meditate them, you speak them over your life, and you work those into your heart until you know that you know they belong to you, and then you stand until you have them. You don't let any devil steal them from you. It's a different process even to access them. That's why, if we look at the history of revivals, if we look at the history of just the last 150 years of the generals of the faith, how many of them operated in giftings way above what anybody's doing today? To some level. I mean, what Alexander, John Alexander Dowie did, and Smith Wigglesworth, Evan Roberts, my goodness, the miracles they saw. John G. Lake, the miracles they saw. If you read the books, you will just, in a short time, what they were able to build up and do to change the world. But many of them died. Many of them died with their personal lives in disaster. William Branham, his life was a mess. His doctrine was a mess when he died. And died in a car accident. He was in a head-on car accident with his wife. She was killed instantly. He was still hanging on to life. His son, I guess, was in the car ahead of them, turned around and came to help them, saw his mother was dead. And William Branham says, I think I have the right person, said, your mother's dead, isn't she? He says, yes, Dad, she's dead. He said, put my hand on her. So his son put his hand on his wife's head. He prayed. She instantly was brought back to life, lived out the rest of her life. And 6 days later, William Branham died. What is that? That's giftings. But without the Zoe life, the fullness of it, are you following me? Powerful giftings, but they didn't know how to function and live in the blessing themselves. Many died in extreme poverty, as I said. And God's raising up a people in the end times. They're going to function in both. And of course, many times I'm up there and I'll be praying, and you'll see us praying for people, or, you know, seeing people delivered or healed or whatever. You're going like, you know, I would like to do that, but he's the pastor. That's what he's called to do. And there's some truth in that. Although I believe we're all supposed to be operating in these signs. Do you believe? These signs shall follow them that believe. We're all to be doing it. But there is a place where as a minister, I'm to be operating in that, you know, visibly for others to see. As a confirmation of the message we're bringing forth. But we are all, regardless of whether ministers or secular, you know, employed, secularly employed, whether we're homemakers, whether we're doing whatever, we are all called to live in Zoe life. And the minister has no more right to that or access to that than somebody in the body. I may, because of position, have more access to some of the gifts. And I believe we can all believe for them. Are you following me? But God does anoint certain men and women of God with power gifts because that's their role to demonstrate the kingdom. But I've got the same responsibilities you do to get in the Word and work faith into my life for God's blessings. Amen. And nobody will ever point to me and say, well, you've been healed for all those years because, you know, you're a pastor. No, it has nothing to do with me being a pastor. Because I was healed before I ever was a pastor. Many of the greatest miracles I saw in my life in my physical body were before I ever was even called to ministry. It was just a matter of working the Word. Amen. So we've got to differentiate between the two. Signs are to point the way to the kingdom, but those in the kingdom are called to live in Zoe life. Are you still in Acts? Did I go anywhere in Acts yet? Acts chapter 2. Here the church has just been birthed. In verse 43 it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now many times we go to Acts chapter 3 where the lame man was healed and we think that was the first miracle they did. But here it says in chapter 2, many signs and wonders were being done by them. What was God doing? He was confirming the reality of this kingdom. Confirming the reality or the truth, the veracity of the gospel message they were relating. Right? So the apostles are seeing signs and wonders. Acts chapter 4. Here the disciples are praying. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, how many of the disciples do you think had secular jobs of the 12 of the apostles? I would say none of them. Right? It could be, you know, I believe Paul did make some tents for a while. It could be they did something for a while, but they were really, their calling was full-time ministry. Right? In fact, they said, hey, they assigned the deacons so that they would take care of all the activities of the church so they could dedicate themselves to the Word of God and to prayer. They were full-time. And so they're saying, give us boldness to preach this gospel message. Verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. They're praying for signs and wonders. They're seeking the power of God to confirm the message they were proclaiming. Amen. They were not most likely proclaiming divine protection. Amen. They were probably not sowing for extreme prosperity. Why? Because right away, James is killed by the sword. The leader's killed. Amen. I'm not trying to attack them or their faith. I'm just saying they were focused on the signs. How about this? They instituted this communal central banking system within the church where they put all their funds together. That way there was no tithe and no offerings made. It was just all a central fund they took out of. They lost their ability to receive a harvest because they were messing with God's capitalistic system. And they became the poorest church around. Weren't manifesting prosperity. So their focus was not on living Zoe life. Amen. It was proclaiming eternal salvation through Jesus Christ and asking God to confirm that with signs following. And that's what they saw. That's why it's called the Acts of the Apostles. Shall we go on? In fact, it says after they had prayed, look at the next verse. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I think that is awesome. I mean, to be praying and have the place shake. Thank you. Just right now. If you want to do that right now. Hey, you have not because you ask not, right? What an awesome testimony to the reality of the kingdom. It was a sign. It was a sign to them that God was going to give them signs. Amidst extreme persecution, I mean, they had to be in fear of their lives. They're being locked up for this message. Threatened with death, they needed God to confirm they were to go out. And God not only confirmed they were to go out, He says, when you do, you'll have your signs you're believing for. Acts chapter 5. Verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. This is right after they had a major sign take place. How would this be a sign in the church? You're taking up a collection. Two people come in and lie about what they were giving. Right? They lied to Peter. And he declares they're about to drop dead. And boom, there they go. That's a sign. That would be a sign. Don't lie to the pastor. Now, I've never felt an inclination to curse anybody like that or to see that happen. But I believe we're again coming into dangerous times where you don't want to mess with the anointing. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. We had a guy come in here and start attacking us, threatened to kill me, going around town. Young guy. Just talking stupid. And he drops dead. Has a stroke and then later he dies. I don't know if he dropped dead or what. I don't know what the details of his death were. I don't believe he's even 30 years old yet. And dead. Don't mess with the anointing. No, I didn't curse him. Amen. I prayed for him. But signs and wonders follow those that seek them. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to try to go through these fairly quickly. Is if I can minister any word quickly. Acts chapter 8, verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. So this is Simon the sorcerer, right? And he was baptized, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now here's Philip the evangelist. Actually, it was Philip the deacon at first, doing signs and wonders. They're seeing God confirm their message. Repeated, that's why it's the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 3, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. This is Paul and Barnabas in Iconium, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, Paul and Barnabas are operating in signs and wonders. What are they doing? They're having the word confirmed by the power of God. Acts chapter 15. Oh, never mind. Romans chapter 15. Here we have really Paul referring, I believe, back to that situation we just read in Acts. It says in verse 19, this is Paul writing, through mighty signs and wonders, by the dunamis dynamite power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul here said, I function in signs and wonders. Dunamis power, right? And then he said, I fully preach the gospel. I heard Lester Sumrall say this when he visited us back in about 93 or something, came to our church. Within a year or so before he passed away. I don't remember exactly when. But Lester came to our church and he spoke to us, I don't know, for an hour and a half or so, straight out of the heart. Now, those that couldn't comprehend the depth of what he was saying, we're like, I didn't understand anything. He said, because he was hitting here and hitting there, but it was straight a Holy Ghost, it was a Holy Ghost download to us. And the main thing I remember him saying was, the gospel has not yet been preached throughout the earth. He said, Jesus has been preached throughout the earth, but not the gospel of the kingdom. And he went to this verse, he said, it's not been fully preached until signs and wonders are confirming everything done throughout the earth. We've had religion go around the world, but not the supernatural power of God yet. But it's happening now. And Paul said he functioned in signs and wonders. I question God's level of backing of a church that never sees anything happen supernaturally. I'm not trying to pick on a church. Are you following me? But I'm reading. I was raised an atheist. I wasn't raised in church. Nobody told me the power of God had passed away. So when I got in the book and I started reading the book of Acts and started reading about what Jesus did, started reading the Old Testament, all the miracles they saw, and I saw that we were to do that, I was totally shocked. I couldn't find a church doing it. We went to church after, do you remember how many churches we went to? Church after church looking for somebody moving out in the power of God. Then we found a little church of God that was actually believing for the giftings. Amen. And they would see some of the signs, some of the giftings function. But God had to move us to Pastor Callahan to find out there's more than giftings. There's a Zoe life we're allowed to live. Because in the church that we went to that was believing in the giftings, they still believed that God would put sickness on you to teach you a lesson. They still thought you were supposed to be broke to stay humble. They didn't know about Zoe life. They just knew about some signs to confirm that Jesus was real. And God's raising up a church that's going to apply both of those, function in signs and live in Zoe life. So my job as pastor is not just to teach you about how you can lay hands on people and see them recover alone. It's to teach you how you can live in the fullness of the blessing of God. But you've got to want it. You got to want to function in the power of God more than you're willing to just rely on the blessing and sustaining power of this world system. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you guys following this tonight? Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. The Jews wanted an outward sign. Outward signs appeal to the fleshly eyes of man. Do you follow me? Outward signs are meant to draw in people with no spiritual connection to the kingdom of any high level. It's meant to draw them in through a flesh connection. They witness a natural, a supernatural phenomenon through natural eyes. The Greeks desire wisdom. What aspect of our triune being does wisdom apply to? It's the soul. The mind, right? Wisdom, see, the Jews wanted to see things line up physically, supernaturally. The Greeks wanted things to make sense logically. And Paul said, we preach Christ crucified, it blows them both out of the water. It totally confounds the flesh, and it confounds the wisdom of the world. Neither of them can follow it. However, those that are spiritually minded can comprehend the things of the kingdom. Now, praise God for signs that draws people in. But once you're in, God will speak to you spirit to spirit. You don't need outward signs. Not only that, I'm not a big believer in laying out fleeces anymore. Gideon had to lay out a fleece because he didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've got the Spirit of God inside of you. You don't need to be laying out fleeces. Usually laying out fleeces is a sign of you don't believe the inner witness of the Spirit within you. Amen. There may be a case God leads you that way. But I know in my case, and I understand I'm not trying to claim mine's the only way, but I've almost never had natural confirmations, or rarely had natural confirmations, to something God spoke to me on the inside. In other words, when it happens, it's been the exception versus the rule. Because God does show me natural things and say, hey, there's confirmation. I would almost never ever say, God, if that's really you, have this happen. Amen. I'd have him speak it to me again. I'd say, speak it to me again. Not that you can't function in that fashion. But we're to be led of the Spirit, not be led by signs. Amen. The enemy can counterfeit signs. Amen. He can have somebody say something to you to make you think it's a sign. But he cannot counterfeit the inner peace the Holy Spirit brings within. 1 Corinthians chapter, well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Anybody want to walk in Zoe life and function in the gifts? Which one would you rather operate in? I choose Zoe. I choose Zoe because I want to live in victory, in alignment with the kingdom. See, understand, signs are the result of believing the kingdom. Zoe is a result of abiding in the kingdom. And I believe one is a higher level of interaction with God. Do you see this? Now, I want signs because I want to be a blessing to those without. But how much more of a witness is when you have Zoe life within, people will believe what you're saying? And how much of a blown witness is it when you're operating in signs but your life's a wreck? Or your doctrine's a mess? Second Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, Paul says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. There's dunamis again, mighty powerful deeds. Paul functioned in the signs and in the wonders. And in Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Here we see God used through the early disciples signs and wonders to confirm the message they were bringing forth. Signs are to confirm the word. Zoe is a form of abundant life we're called to live in. Amen? And they're both of vital importance to the end-time believer. Now let's look at Zoe life. You still with me? I'm going to hit a few of these. And I'm not trying to demean the early apostles in any fashion. My goodness, we stand in awe of them, don't we? I mean, got to walk with Jesus 3.5 years, birthed the church. But what I'm trying to get at is their calling was different than ours. Theirs was to launch the church and the kingdom. Ours is to finish the work and demonstrate the fullness of what the kingdom supplies. In fact, Scripture says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. I believe God's raising up a church that at the end the enemy can't even kill them. Now that's radical, isn't it? The first century church wasn't called to do that. They were just trying to keep their heads above water and launch forth this church. We're called to finish the work and demonstrate the fullness of the blessing the kingdom can provide for us to a dying world. Amen. Including manifest a supernatural power of agape love. God's end time harvest magnet. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, did you know when you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, you don't have to really fight that much of a good fight of faith? It's a gift. I'm talking about when I'm praying for people, it's not a big fight up here. I might have to cast down the devil saying, hey, it's not going to work, or they're not going to receive, or you're doing it wrong, or whatever. But I'm not in a big fight. I didn't even fight to receive the gifts very hard, other than the devil saying you can't have them, but I just sought God for them. Fasted and prayed, and then by faith stepped into them. But you start trying to believe God for the promises of Zoe life, and you're gonna lock horns with the devil. He didn't want you healed. He didn't want you prosperous. He didn't want your marriage blessed, your children serving God. He didn't want you functioning in the love of God. So it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Look at this. Lay hold on eternal Zoe. We are called to grab a hold of Zoe and not let the devil steal any part of it away from us. Fight for your health. Fight for your financial blessing. Fight for your marriage, your kids, your church. Fight for your promotion at work, whatever it might be. Fight by faith the fight that you win, because that's a good fight, right? It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Look at this. Whereunto thou art called. Now, I'm called to be a pastor, right? BJ's called to be a nurse. Robert's called right now to mow grass, right? I'm called to pastor and to do Patty's honey-do list, which keeps growing exponentially. But we're all called to one thing as the end time church, to manifest Zoe life. It's our calling. See, when people come in here, they don't like it a lot of times because I'll say, you know, God's called you to be healed by faith. Well, I don't need all that. I've got medicine, and you know, I'm seeing the doctor, and they've got my conditions under control, and you know, that's just too much work. And well, I never mentioned that it wasn't optional as far as God was concerned. He never meant for it to be optional. He never meant for you to accept the attacks of the enemy as being okay. He wanted us to grab a hold of these promises. Right? Whereunto you were called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. You have said you were a Christian. Have you told people you're a Christian? Then God expects you to live in the victory of Christians to live in. Now here we see it's our calling to lay hold of eternal life. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. The gospel is the package deal of God's kingdom that offers us all these promises. Do I need to say that again? The kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom that we're to function in, as a kingdom comprised of a set of promises of God's blessing for your life, including heaven someday. But in that kingdom message, there are all promises of healing, finances, and everything else we mentioned. Right? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but that word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But we which have believed do enter into his rest. Again, living in Zoe for the end time Christian was never meant to be optional. And the writer of Hebrews says you better fear you don't claim all the promises contained in that package. Was God going to get you if you don't claim them all? No, the devil is. The devil will attack you in any area of your life that you don't have faith, your faith shield developed. Any promise you don't lay hold of, the enemy's going to attack you through that opening in your life. Amen. So what's important? You work into your life, into your faith shield, your faith stand, some level of all the major promises of God. Hallelujah. Never meant to be optional. It's mandatory. I've got about 20 verses. I'm trying to pick out which one or two I can go to with the time I've got left. Ephesians chapter 4. See, this may seem like not a real cheerleading session of a message, but you know what? From this point on, you will never confuse Zoe with the gifts again. You now have differentiation made between signs and living in victory. And you need to categorize them and keep them separate as you're seeking God for both. Because they're actually accessed in a different fashion. Amen. Why would they be accessed differently? They're both received by faith. Here's why. You have a promise of divine health. And you never lay on your face and say, God, send me healing. Send me divine health into my life. Oh God, please send healing into my physical body. That's not faith because you've already got a promise. It's already been promised and provided, right? Purchased for you already. But the giftings, you don't say, well, I just believe I've received the gift of prophecy. You say, God, I desire this gift. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, seek earnestly the best gifts. You seek the gifts. You proclaim the promises. And you got to keep the two in the right category. Seek the gifts, proclaim the promises by faith. Ephesians chapter 4, are you there? Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. How many know people in the world, even people in religion, have their understanding darkened? Being alienated from the Zoe life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. I've discovered there's as many people blind to this in the church as there are in the world. Ignorance. Ignorance is the blocking point to Zoe life. It doesn't say just because you're saved you'll automatically have it. You have it when you get revelation to it. Amen. And then you access it by faith. You used to be alienated from it because you didn't know about it. Even after you were saved, you didn't have it because you didn't know about it. I walked for years still getting as sick as I ever did until somebody taught me how to write to divine health. Not sick anymore. Amen. We have a right through revelation, receiving the revelation of the Word of God, to live in the fullness of the same victory Jesus walked in. And you know what? I don't believe he ever had a down day, a single day of his life. Amen. We watch the movies and Jesus, they always have this religious Jesus, and he's always like, oh, what a weary assignment I've got. Oh, I believe he was the happiest person around. Amen. If you've ever watched the video series, The Book of Matthew, they have a much better Jesus portrayed. He's having a good time, right? If that's the one I'm thinking of. And we have a right to live in that same victory. And the good news is, he did have to look forward to a cross that we don't have to look forward to. He took our pain, bore our sickness, right? Took every assault of the enemy upon himself so that we by faith can function in victory. We should be happy, happy, happy people. First Timothy chapter 4. We'll close with this one. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now stop right there. I confess this verse all the time when I don't want to get up and exercise. God, I'd get up. I'd put the M&Ms down and get up, but there's not enough exercise. There's not enough profit in bodily exercise. I'm just going to sit there and pray. Really not a good excuse, is it? But godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable. Do you believe that? There's a profit in being godly. Having promise of the Zoe that now is, and of that which is to come. Regarding those that want to say, we just have Zoe life when we get to heaven, you need to understand, here Paul said you have Zoe life now and in the life to come. Not only do we have it available in both places, we are called and assigned of God to manifest it. I hate to see people not living up to their potential to some level. When I see brilliant young men and women and they sell out for living on drugs and alcohol, a lot of what I did, you know, but at least I was still striving to excel in some areas of my life. but especially even in church. And they're willing just to get by. It just doesn't sit right with me. I want to see people live up to their potential. And there's been some people that, I mean, think of the athletes you've witnessed that had unlimited potential to do great things, but they get to college or whatever and they just blow the whole thing. I mean, how many have ended up getting to college, they end up, you know, getting thrown out for drugs or fighting or, you know, some stupid thing. And blow what you knew was going to be a million-dollar contract in the future over something ridiculous. But I hate even more in the church, people having all these promises given to them freely, prayed for, prepaid by Jesus, prepaid at the cross, and don't want to apply themselves to receive of it. What we're doing is we're not living up to our kingdom potential either. And I don't believe God likes that. Not that He's going to throw us out of the kingdom, are you following me? But He wants us to rise up and say, believe it. He wants us to believe Him for the best. And not sell Him short or sell ourselves short. He didn't say it for no reason that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For nothing shall be impossible unto you. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He has ordained us to victory over every challenge of the world and every attack of the enemy. And I especially don't like losing to Mr. Ponytail. Well, did you get anything out of this? Signs and Zoe. Sought and proclaimed. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask You to seal it in our hearts, minds, or understanding. Cause us to rise up and desire the things of Your kingdom. Desire victory through the promises of God. And let us not sell short the opportunities You laid before us. We thank You in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. If you need special prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. Amen.